Shar, before we get to hockey, just want to express our condolences to your wife, Randine, who lost her father over the weekend. Just want to say sorry about that. Hope you guys are doing okay.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. I really appreciate you saying that. It was a tough couple of days, and it'll be tough moving forward, but lots of good memories. Gary was a fantastic guy, great dad, good friend. He was an awesome father-in-law, so appreciate you saying that, and everybody is doing doing as well as can be expected, so thank you kindly.
Now, the CFL obviously is not doing as good as can be expected,
yeah.
Although it's kind of expected. Lots of people I talked to didn't think there was going to be a season. I know, you know, they came close, and they seem to come together on both sides more in the later stages of this, but maybe a little bit of too little too late for them. It sounds like they're a little caught off guard by the government saying no at the end, but just because the government asked to talk again doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the money. So now it's about looking ahead to next season. What do you think the CFL has to change if they want to come back stronger?
Yeah, good question. You know, I think part of the successful return to play for some of these other leagues, to my eye, has been being on things early and being ahead of the game. And I think in some ways the CFL tried, but some of their early asks I just don't think they were that well thought out, whether it was the $150 million being included as part of the initial ask, even though it wasn't the only ask, but it was part of that ask, and that just, I think it made everybody go, holy smokes, like, what the heck? And maybe not involving the players enough in the early going. There was just very little room for error in this return-to-play scenario for sports leagues, and they seemed to whiff on it a few times, and then it's too late. So, you know, what do you change moving forward? I mean, I think, you know, one of the things I heard today, and I don't know if it's 100% accurate or not, so I want to be careful with it, but, you know, there was this feeling that the government wanted some transparency on the shopkeeping and the bookkeeping for the CFL and to have an understanding of the way their economics worked. I'm not sure if they were willing to completely open the books or not, if that was sort of some of the terms that were involved in the loan. It just feels like maybe a little bit more being upfront, a little more transparency, a little bit of an understanding of, you know, what the challenges are, and everybody working together to get over those challenges, because it seems like things quite often are kind of shrouded in a level of secrecy, and I'm not sure if it's necessary. Is that fair?
No, I think it's totally fair. Like, there are some things that I believe that the CFL has to do. Number one, I would pause their global initiative. I don't know how much they're spending on it. I'm not sure it's money well spent. Take care of your own backyard first. I think that might help reduce some football ops expenses. If it's true that the players are only 30% of revenue, then it's of expenses, well, that's too much. I would also cap the quarterback salaries, because I think the gap is becoming way too much, right?
Yeah.
Like, way too much in this league. So, I would do that, and they've got to build around their players and their fans and somehow get it more. I don't know how they do it, but to me, the CFL still, they got to tap in more to their personalities, and I think they got to be more involved with social media stuff that's good content, not just content for the sake of content.
Yeah. I think there's tremendous opportunities with a sport like football, and when you see some of the stuff that the NFL does, just to really push the envelope and to really try and find a way to make everything, just exploit every angle of the game that is so marketable and so cool, you know, and just maybe doing a, you know, investing some more resources into putting that stuff out there on social media and making these players, you know, showing these players for the incredible athletes they are, and just kind of, I don't know, just got to ride that idea, right? Just push your players out there and make them heroes for the little kids, you know, getting the youth more engaged and all that kind of stuff. So it's tough. I mean, I don't necessarily have all the answers. I make my living, you know, in part working in the CFL. It's a big deal for our network, so it's a bit of a tough day for us. We you know, we love our CFL seasons and our broadcasts, and it keeps a lot of people at our network employed too. So I'm definitely, I wouldn't say I'm unbiased on this whole thing. It just kind of sucks. So when they do come back, you just hope that they have a game plan to hit it hard, make a splash, make a difference, do something that is meaningful and makes, you know, can make it up to people, and try and have a bit of a reboot with all of this. Not just a plain old restart and be glad you're there, but give it a reboot in some way.
talking with Ryan Rashog, Edmonton bureau chief for TSN. Shogger, you know, the season is pretty recently over for the Edmonton Oilers, but there's a lot of people with ideas about how to change this team. They had a pretty good regular season, and I know by Tippett's standard, didn't perform well enough in the restart or whatever, the playoffs. You know, the defense seems to be a focal point for a lot of people. The Swedes are under pressure. Darnell Nurse, Ethan Bear, maybe a little less on the radar. But, you know, a name that we've both have kicked around for a number of years is Tyson Barrie. Based on what you've seen from him recently, would that be a guy that you could see fitting into the Oilers to help bring whatever he brings to the organization?
Man, I said his name so many times for so many years, you know, thinking it would be a fit. And I know it's tougher to make it happen than we might know. But for a long time, it felt like he was what the blue line needed. And then, again, we've talked about it. All of a sudden, they draft Evan Bouchard and decide they don't need a defenseman anymore. And here they are, you know, some quality defensemen shy of being able to make a difference. Now, Strud, the answer to that depends on how you feel about, you know, his performance in the reboot here versus what he's been capable of in the past, right? So, I mean, let's say there were teams out there that thought Oscar Klefbom might be the answer to their problem at one point. Would they have watched that series and still thought he was at all? So it's tough to know how much to judge this by, because I don't believe he was very good. There's a player there and a good player there, and if you can make it work from a cap standpoint, I think he helps. But I think the Oilers need help defending. Puck moving and defending. And I think maybe if you can find someone with a little bit more of a penchant for defending and puck moving, that would be maybe a little bit more ideal, because I don't know that strictly on the defending standpoint, which the Oilers need to be better at, if he's necessarily the right guy for what they need. I believe Evan Bouchard will have an opportunity in this organization, and he may well be a guy that can run a power play right away. Don't know, which is something that Barrie would potentially do. Don't know that he'll be defending against the best players in the world. So I would say they need a different type of player in this moment. You guys?
It's a tough one, because I look at the Oilers' blue line, and I think they have too much of the same. Chris Russell and Adam Larson are basically similar players. Sure, they have different strengths and weaknesses, but at the end, neither one's a great outlet passer. You know what? They're more penalty kill guys, battle really hard type of stuff. They have two of them. You have Nurse and Klefbom, and one's a better transporter, one's a little bit better passer. Neither one's really dynamic offensively, right? Even Ethan Bear has yet to show up, which is fine. I think the Oilers lack a really dynamic guy with the puck, not only offensively, but even sometimes defensively, because I'll look at Larson and Russell. I just use them as example, and even Klefbom and Nurse. These guys will have possession of the puck. You watch Ethan Bear, he'll sometimes, you know, he'll hold on where the forechecker, because he knows the forechecker isn't going to hit him, or he thinks he isn't. The forechecker doesn't hit him. Then he has time to make a play where the other guys will just get it out. I think Edmonton actually needs more guys who are a little more confident to hold on to the puck in the defensive zone, because it might allow him to get out of the defensive zone more.
Yeah, you know, and if you look at what the makeup of the blue line might be next year, how do you get better? How do you get better on that blue line while still allowing for Bouchard to develop his way into the lineup? You can't play a rookie like Evan Bouchard with Caleb Jones all year. You know, you don't want a Jones-Bouchard third pairing. You need to bring Evan Bouchard in and have somebody steady next to him night in, night out. That's my belief anyways. So there's a lot of talk about Adam Larson or Chris Russell and what that looks like. I would probably be fairly content to have, you know, Chris Russell, Caleb Jones, and Evan Bouchard as your bottom pairing guys. They're sort of jockeying in and out of the lineup, with Russell tasked with helping Bouchard out. I think if there's a way to upgrade on Adam Larson, and whether that's via trade, combining some draft picks, doing whatever you need to do to try and upgrade on that right side on your second pairing, or, you know, whatever, 1-1B, 2-2A, 2-B, whatever you want to call it. I think that you need a veteran on your third pairing to help Bouchard out, and I think you can try and upgrade in that right spot where Larson is right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that there has to be a stable presence on that third line, third pairing. When you look at Adam Larson, though, what is his, like, when you look around the league, he's coming off of, it's his last year of his deal. And what do you think people see him as a player? Is he a second line player? Like, where would he be? Like, if I say Adam Larson is a number what? What do you think most of the league would say?
Four.
Yeah,
maybe that's three.
Right. Yeah, see, I have him as a week three, and a pretty strong four.
Yeah.
So, what does that return look like for him?
Have you guys watched Tampa Bay series at all?
Yeah,
a little bit.
Because
yeah.
People wrote off Zach Bogosian.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you play a guy who's just a defender, of course, it's a number one defenseman's top five guy in the league in Hedman, so it's different. The Oilers don't have that guy. But I look at Adam Larson, and I think teams will see value in him that, like, the Oilers, I think Adam Larson can play. They don't have enough diversity in their back end. So you've got to switch it, not because he's a bad player, because you need somebody. And even Tyson Barry, well, he might not be the perfect thing you need, Shogar. I think he's more diverse than what you currently have, because at least he should be a guy who's a puck mover and will hold on to the puck. And so if you have Nurse and Klepbom who are more secure guys in a way than him, then you pair him up with Klepbom, and he becomes the guy where Klepbom may, because I look at Klepbom's 5-on-5 numbers, he doesn't produce much offense. Right, compared to Darnell Nurse, and they play 37% and 34% of their time with McDavid, so I think that's important to note when you're talking 5-on-5 scoring. It's really not close between Nurse and Klepbom the last 3 years. So maybe Klepbom is more of just, a defensive guy. And you put him with Barry, and maybe that makes it easier. Like, I think Barry, I'd agree with you, he's not a great defender, but he gives you a different look, and that's why I might look at him if I could move Larson.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he doesn't have the same level of offense, right? Hasn't shown it yet. But Ethan Bear, in terms of being a dynamic skater and a great puck mover, is coming into his own. I think the Oilers, if I were them, I would be banking on something similar from Ethan Bear next year. I wouldn't bank on him taking some big monumental step again next year. If I were them, I would feel fortunate if they got a similar year from Ethan Bear next year. So with that in mind, as a puck mover, you'll have Bouchard potentially, if he can make the team out of camp, as a guy that's in the lineup a lot of nights that moves the puck nicely. Klefbom is a decent puck mover, and so, Russell would be more the defender. Jones, decent puck mover as well, nice skater. I know what you're saying, Gregs, but between Bouchard and Bear, you've already got guys that are puck movers that could be your one and two power play unit guys. Klefbom is a power play guy. I would like to see a big, sort of strong guy that can defend well and move the puck. I'm not worried about bringing in a dynamic offensive guy at this point to help what's wrong with this blue line, because this team has produced enough, produced a lot of offense. And I think if they can continue to do that, I think they need to defend better. And I think, Tyson Barry, I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. I'm just saying for what's wrong with this group, I think they need to make sure they're bringing in guys that can defend, make them, better at defending. And I don't know that he checks that box. I think he makes it more difficult to have Bouchard in your lineup night in, night out. Because quite frankly, Barry is a guy who by the second period of a lot of games is on your third pairing because you're frustrated with him. And that puts a young guy in the lineup as another right guy in a precarious spot, having to maybe play up when he shouldn't be.
It'll be an interesting offseason, Shogar. Thanks for this. We will chat with you tomorrow.
Okay, take care, guys.